It's time again for the Red Journal Radio Show.
All right, you guys, good evening, good evening. This is your host, Lita McCall, and this is a Red Journal Radio Show, and I would like to welcome you guys to it. Today is October 13th, and which is a Tuesday, and we're already in the mid part of October already, so this year is going by so fast. Now, as you know, we always start out with meditation, and then we're going to do our recipe. So let's get started. Again, I want to welcome you to the Red Journal Radio Show. Okay. Visualize standing on the shores looking over the water. Take a deep breath. Now slowly release it. Clear your mind. Concentrate on just being still. Accept that your thoughts can be transformed to accept the changes that can take place. Look over the horizon and beyond your perceived viewpoint. Focus on what is important to you. Release the dragon of doubt, low self-esteem, and all the emotional baggage that you carry with you. Allow the gentleness of the breeze sweep away all your fears. Let the waves of calmness pass over you. Your life is all you have. So make sure you've planned it accordingly. Never stop dreaming. Know through relaxation, you have an opportunity to refresh, renew, and reinvent. This is just the beginning for you to take a chance and create you a positive environment for the growth of a positive thought pattern. All right, take a deep breath. Let it out. One more. Let it out. Wow. Great. Now, let's go ahead and knock out this recipe so that we'll have an opportunity to move on to the news. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, I think I did this one, but I'm not for sure, or I had it turned over to that page, but let's see. Let's try, the holidays are coming up, and I'm going to tell you right now, you guys, I don't really do holidays. I really don't anymore. I'm a grown woman. I mean, I know people get together with family and stuff, but I'm not a real big holiday person. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to do a cookie recipe for the holidays, okay? Now, these cookies are called the Peppermint Melt-Aways. And this is from Newaygo, Michigan. And it takes 30 minutes plus chilling. It takes 10 minutes to bake, and it makes about 2.5 dozen. So let's get started here. You take 1 cup of butter softened, 1/2 cup of confectioner's sugar, a half teaspoon of peppermint extract, 1 1/4 cups of all-purpose flour, 1/2 cup of cornstarch, and that's just the cookie itself. Then the frosting is 2 tablespoons of butter softened, 2 teaspoons of 2% milk, 1/4 teaspoon of peppermint extract, 2 or 3 drops of red food coloring, which is optional, and 1.5 cups of confectioner's sugar, and 1/2 cup of crushed peppermint candies. You put this in a small bowl, cream, butter, and confectioner's sugar until light and fluffy. Beat in peppermint extract in another bowl with flour and cornstarch. Gradually beat into the creamed mixture. Refrigerate, cover for 30 minutes or until dough is firm enough to handle. Preheat 350. Shape dough into 1-inch balls. Place 2-inch apart on an ungreased baking sheet. Bake 9 to 11 minutes or until Bottoms are light brown. Remove from pans to wire racks to cool. In a bowl, beat butter until creamy. Beat in milk, peppermint extract, and if desired, food coloring. Beat in confectioner's sugar until smooth. Spread over cookies, sprinkle with crushed candies, store in an airtight container. Let's talk about the calories. 126 calories, 7 grams of fat, 18 milligrams of cholesterol, 56 milligrams of sodium, 15 grams of carbs, and trace fiber, and 1 gram of protein. So you get a little gram of protein, something that's helpful to your system, I guess. All right, that was called the peppermint meltaways. Okay, that is a holiday cookie. Now, we have gotten that out the way, and as you know, and I'm going to say this because I don't want anyone to get the impression that I have a negative attitude about a lot of things. I don't. I like to make sure that what I'm saying, it's more of a learning, a lesson to be learned. It's not about me trying to be negative or spewing out all the things I know. It's just a lot of stuff that's very important when it comes to issues that bother me, when it comes to us. As you know, tonight's show is Let's Try This Again, and we're supposed to be discussing the issues of today and how they really haven't changed since the 50 years ago, and where are we going, and will we live to see that whole change? Now, as you know, this past weekend in Washington, D.C., Minister Farrakhan had the, I want to call it a movement and not an event. The Justice or Else rally, where when I watched it on C-SPAN, since none of the local ABC, CBS, none of them refused to show it, which is fine, we were able to watch it on C-SPAN. I want to thank C-SPAN for giving us that opportunity to watch it. I felt a sense of togetherness as I watched it and listened to the different speeches and listened to Minister Farrakhan. And it let me know that we do still have a long way to go, but it shouldn't have taken us 50 years to get where we're at. 50 years later, we have the highest rate of incarcerated people. We're at the poverty line. The education system is crappy. I can say shitty on my show. We're still not paid equally. Housing, because of the job market, you can't maintain a house. So it's being said that we're better at renters than we are owning homes. I don't know why someone would come up with that concept, but I didn't read the whole article, but it did say that we're better at renting than we are buying. And that concept it doesn't go in my head right. I can't think of that being the truth. You look at the opportunities that we have. I will say that much. We do have better opportunities. But at what cost? The whole United States, our economy is in good shape in certain places. It's in good shape, but we're still left out. Why is that? Why is it that the African American people are left out the most important part of being here? That's education, the economics, housing, jobs, employment, and opportunities. What has happened? And I always keep saying this, and I'm not the only one who says this. Other people have said the same thing. He didn't ask for integration. He asked for equality. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Martin Luther King. He asked for equality. When he realized the damage that was taking place with us integrating, because a lot of us died in the process of integrating. A lot of us died in the process of voting. We died. And I made a comment that nobody went to jail behind a lot of the deaths of Black people. And all they wanted to do was to vote. People never seen the inside of jail. The white supremacists never seen the inside of jail because of that. So when you look at the whole picture, have we moved beyond the 50 years? We have a judicial system that is one of the cruelest judicial systems, especially when it comes to us. It was said by, I think his name is Minister Bryant, Jamal Bryant is, I think his name is, because Department of Justice realized that they have too many people locked up for nonviolent crimes. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not quoting what he said. I'm going to tell you what I understood out of the conversation. That they're in the process of going to let go 6,000 incarcerated men. That's a lot, but it's 40 million of us. I would like to see the rest of us nonviolent. But see, now they've been in the system so long, it's nonviolent. By the time they come out, you have got to see what is going to happen to them when it comes to education, economics, housing, jobs, employment, and opportunities. All of this is going to affect them. And are we ready for them to re-enter society? I don't know. Are we preparing them to enter into society? I don't know. Are we? Because eventually, it's going to be a lot more. It's going to be a lot more of them coming out because they're going to have to be released. If it's not justifiable to have them locked up, they're going to have to come out. Drugs, marijuana, when you have marijuana legal and the system still doesn't want to let go, the system still doesn't want to let go, knowing that we've, in several states, they have legalized marijuana. That's crazy. Because we have to understand, with our young men and women being locked up, there's money to be made. So you actually didn't, and this has been said more than once, not only by me, but by other people, it hasn't changed any. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. You just went from wearing raggedy clothes to putting on an orange jumpsuit. Now just imagine this. Just imagine this. How many men died in prison and they probably didn't even do not one thing. Not one thing wrong, but they're locked up for that very reason. They didn't do anything wrong because of the color of their skin. Now, before we go forward, I want to do something. I want to play a clip of Farrakhan. He was talking to Mike Wallace. This was way back in the day. And I want you to hear what he said about America and how important it is for us to understand how all of this took place and how dare the ideal that some people have the nerve to have an arrogance about themselves, and they have. And it hasn't, that privileged mindset hasn't changed none. It's not changed, not one bit. And it's mind-boggling. Okay. I'm going to play this clip for you.
And it is. It could be the most corrupt. You go to Nigeria, which is, if not the most corrupt nation in Africa, and it is, it could be the most corrupt nation in the world, Minister Farrakhan.
Oh,
and
now, Mr. Wallace.
It is the most corrupt nation that I have ever covered. I've been there 25 years ago, and I've been there as recently as last year.
Fine. So what? 35 years old. That's what that nation is. Now, here's America, 226 years old. You love democracy, but there in Africa, you're trying to force these people into a system of government that you just have accepted 30 years ago. Black folk got the right to vote. You're not in any moral position to tell anybody how corrupt they are. You should be quiet and let those of us who know our people go there and help them get out of that condition. But America should keep her mouth shut wherever there's a corrupt regime, as much hell as America has raised on the earth. No, I will not allow America, all you, Mr. Wallace, to condemn them as the most corrupt nation on earth when you have spilled the blood of human beings. Has Nigeria dropped an atomic bomb and killed people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Have they killed off millions of Native Americans? How dare you put yourself in that position as a moral judge? I think you should keep quiet, because with that much blood on America's hands, you have no right to speak. I will speak, because I don't have that blood on my hand. Yes, there's corruption there. Yes, there's mismanagement of resources. Yes, there is abuse. There's abuse in every nation on earth, including this one. So let's not play holy to moralize on them. Let's help.
I'm not moralizing. I'm asking a question, and I got an answer.
Why would you put it that the most corrupt regime in the world? That doesn't make sense.
Can you think of one more corrupt?
Yeah, I'm living in one. I'm living in one. Yes, you've done a hell of a thing on this earth, so you should not be the one to talk. You should be quiet when it comes to moral condemnation.
Okay. Wow. He told it like it is. And that's how it is. He said it. Those words came out of his mouth. How dare us? How dare America? But that's the mindset. That's the mindset. That's why I keep asking. 50 years later, have anything changed? One thing we can do, we can come together. We might not do anything after that, but we can come together. And that's the biggest fear, is unity. And not only unity with us, but unity throughout the races. Indians, Hispanics, Latinos, Mexican-American, Asians. Us coming together is the biggest fear against the European man. That's the biggest fear they have. Because there's a lot of intelligent, smart people out there, especially from my race, that is black. We have a lot of smart people in the midst. And I can sit here and I can talk about it all day long. I love stats, so I can give you statistics all day long. But the answer or the question is, what would be my solution to the education system? What would be my solution to the economics? What would be my answer to housing, jobs, or solution, that is, employment and better opportunities? What would be my solution? First and foremost, when you talk about education, and it's been proven, let us educate our own. Point blank. Let us educate our own, because our children are not being taught what is needed. Let us educate our own children. When it comes to economics, let us build an economic system that everybody will benefit from. Housing. You know, it's amazing that a lot of African Americans don't even know what they have to do to actually own a house. It's all right to rent. Oh, I'm not against anybody who has to rent, because that's what you have to do. I rented several times. But it's nothing greater to me. And it's not about the American dream, because it is America's dream. It's not my dream. But to own something of your own that nobody can kick you out of is your home. Owning your own home. But because of the downturn and the inequality of the money in the Black communities, everybody can't own a home. They just can't own a home. So what would I do for that? I would love for us to have our own individual neighborhoods, something like what we have now. But everybody help each other build their houses. Everybody contribute to each other, not just helping like Habitat for Humanity. I'm talking about literally helping someone in that neighborhood. Once you get in this neighborhood, you help that person. Your house is built. Now you help that next person to build their house. It'll take some time, but you all will do it. And the funding. When you go back to the economic part, the funding will be there for you specifically to build a home and have a land that you can own. Jobs, creating jobs. We can't create something we don't own. We don't own corporations. Some of us do, but we only hired a certain amount of people and, you know, in small businesses. My hat goes off to you because you're doing what you can do as a small business. But these huge corporations, they've come in, they've taken, you know, merged. When you merge, you make a conglomerate corporation, so you know that you're going to have more people employed, and lots of them don't look like us. So we have to create a system where employment and jobs are going to be for us. That means that some of our rich philanthropists need to take an opportunity and make it available for people to start companies that can employ other people, people like us. That goes back to the education system, having a good education system, so all those things can take place. Now, doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a college degree education. Now, with a college degree education, you should be able to start your own company and then hire and create jobs for other people. We've got to stop this mindset of having our hands out. Free, free, free. We've got to. That's including me. That's including anybody in my family that has that attitude. We need to stop it. Nobody owes us anything. We have to get it ourselves. And it's sad that we have to get it from the same person that oppressed us in the first place. That's the crazy, insane thing. We don't have to ask them for anything. But because of the control they have over a majority of things that we need, it's hard. we think of another way of building employment and economic system. Once you own one house, buy another house so that you can have another family in there. So that will be income coming in. Learn how to fix things. You know, our kids are so tech savvy. They don't know how to carpentry, welding. We don't know how to do bricklaying. I have a friend. His name is Brother Ali. And he has a company, and that's what he does. He's cement, concrete. He does construction. He goes all over the place doing construction. He's an African-American, and he hires only African-Americans. And I think that's an awesome, awesome thing. But he's only one. And the area where I'm living at, I don't think is any here. I think it's one lady, matter of fact, who owns a construction company. But I don't know how many contracts that she gets or how many jobs she gets. I just don't. But we've got to create our own environment. Opportunities. Creating opportunities for not only you and your family, but opportunities for everyone. That's what we need to do. I don't know if I answered the question of the solution, but we've got to get out of this mindset. We've got to get out of this mindset. We've got to move forward. And we're going to have some people that refuse. They're not going to. They're so comfortable. They don't want to do anything else. They're just so satisfied with what they're doing. And you can't move them. And that's fine. We can't sit back and worry about them. We need to move forward and make a difference. I have to always, and I don't like to make it sounds like, I have to always come back to me because I'm concerned and I need to be concerned about me. How do you see me as a person? How do you see me as an African-American woman or a Black woman? How do you see me when I'm trying to make a difference? Am I really truly making a difference? So that's important to me because I have to start with me first. If I'm not giving back, how can I dare ask you to do? I can't. I have to do my part. And it's amazing. Me and my husband was talking earlier about my business and how I'm going to restructure it. And he says, baby, I'm going to tell you this. He says to me, he says, you give away a lot of free stuff. He said, I learned a long time ago you can't do that. Because the mindset is free. And basically that's what I do at times. I give away free stuff. You're going to have to stop doing that. And understanding that I have to stop doing that, it's not because I don't want to help anybody, but I can help people in other ways. But in the process, I'm giving away all free stuff, but what am I getting in return? My time is very valuable, but I can sit down and talk to you all day about a situation that's going to help make things better for you. So, in a sense, being a consultant is a job. Being a teacher, if I tell you how to go about getting a house, I'm instructing you. I'm training you. Should I get paid for that? It's a skill. And if I have the license or if I have the education to back it up, it's a skill that I can use to help other people. So sometimes it's hard to know the difference between free, giving out free advice, and asking for something in return. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to since I told you I love statistics, I think I'm going to throw some statistics at you. So we're going to take a break and we shall return. This is Red Journal Radio, and I'm your host, Salita.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel?
Mostly okay. I... Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman! Let's break for lunch.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
All right, deal.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Yeah.
on that hood, hood. You gotta bring me out. Let me show you how. You approach me now. If you do it right, you can turn me out. I'll give it to you now.
Together on a good recording.
All right, you guys, we are back with Red Journal Radio. I'm your host, Alita McCall. And you guys, we were talking about the education, economic, housing, job, employment opportunities for Black folks, period. We talked about the incarceration of our African Americans, nonviolent defenders that should be released, especially this war on drugs. We discussed what would be my solution. I don't think I went deep into my solutions, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to have to really check that again when I talk about education, economic, housing, jobs, and employment opportunities. I think I need to go at it in a different way, and I will be bringing those conversations or those subjects back again at a later date. I was going to tell you about some demographics, and I told you I like stats. And we have to understand statistics also can be jimmied with. I learned that in statistics. So we're just going to hope that this information is correct. Now, there is a website called blackdemographics.com. And they have all the information you want when it comes to stats, dealing with African Americans, our population, news, Black male statistics, Black woman poverty, books, education, the whole nine yards. They have all of that, crime, religion. So I'm going to use their resource, their website, to give out information. I'm hoping this information, and I'm looking at the years, I'm hoping this information is very much so up to date. And if it's not, then I'm just going to go by what they're saying. And I'm quite sure a lot of things have changed in the last couple of years. But I'm hoping that this information is up to date. Now, we were talking about housing. And according to this website, it says many working class Black Americans struggle to obtain affordable housing. The percentage of Black homeowners decreased between 2005 and 2012, from 46 to 42.5%. Much of these losses can be attributed to the housing crisis, where so many Americans lost their houses to foreclosure. It also says this also means more than half of all African Americans rent. And remember when I was telling you earlier about the ideal that we make better renters than we do owning a home. This is where I think I got this information from. It says, what's more even alarming is the fact that 59.2% of renters spend more than 30% of their income on rent. That more than 30%. Wow. It says this is an increase from 53% in 2005. This is important because it's recommended that no more than 30% of households' income is spent on housing costs. That's everything. That means your electricity bill, everything should be no more than 30%. But this is just rent alone. And another thing with housing, when you're renting, a lot of these companies are starting to merge. And I told you the merging of companies sometimes is not beneficial to us. It can hurt us. Well, when they start merging these companies, then rules change, rent change, and you're paying more for rent. And that's something we have to look at. It says, for homeowners, the percentage of household spending is more than 30% of their income on housing increased from 40% to 43.9% during the same time period. Although this is lower than it is for renters, it is still higher than the national average of 33.9%. Having to use so much of income for housing makes it much more difficult for African Americans to make ends meet, especially since Blacks have also experienced a large increase in median gross rent from $686 in 2005 to $820 per month, in 2012. Also, the median value of homes owned by African Americans decreased from $126,000 in 2011 to $122,200 in 2012. So the value of the houses also have decreased for Black America. Those are the things that we have to look at when it comes to housing. Now, just something to think about. Why don't we want to own our own house? Well, for one thing, when the banks did what they did, they got bailed out and people lost their homes. They sold loans. They sold mortgages to different companies, and people were scrambling trying to find out who they need to pay their mortgage to. And after a while, it got held up, and before you know it, you got the sheriff department on your front step telling you you got to get out. So these are the things. Now, I don't know if you understand the concept or the design behind this. I don't think it was just greed. I really believe this was done on purpose. I really do. I am a conspiracy theorist. I believe this was done on purpose. I believe that they purposely did, for one thing, they gave loans to people who were not properly vetted, if that's what you want to call it. Their credit rating wasn't good, so they should have never gotten a loan or housing. But the interest rate was great, and like I said, they were able to sell the loans to other people. Lots of times, people didn't even understand what they were signing, but they were signing away their life and their homes and didn't even realize that's what they were doing. When there's a downturn in the job market and in employment opportunities, then guess what? That affects everything because you need money to live, for food, for everything. You need money for it. So when that turndown happened, look what it did. But guess what? We suffered, but they didn't. They didn't. And not one person spent one time in jail. But if this was in another country, they would have went to jail. But only in America, can these capitalist corporations can do what they've done. And now, even if people have a house foreclosed and maybe they have an opportunity to be able to move back, you know, to buy a house again, they're not going to be able to. It's crazy. But I believe it was designed. I'm sorry. I truly believe this was designed this way. I really do. Now, another thing that kind of that got me to thinking and I thought was very important, also when we talk about economics, when we talk about job opportunity, when we talk about employment, Black-owned businesses. Now, this is funny with this information I'm getting ready to give you, that it's not equaling out. Now, according to, again, this website, and anybody can go to this website and get the same information I'm giving out. I just love giving out information for free. Anyway, Black-owned businesses in the United States increased 60.5% between 2002 and 2007, totaling 1.9 million Black firms. More than 94% of these businesses are made up of sole proprietors or partnerships which have no paid employees. Okay. Nearly 4 in 10 Black-owned businesses, more than 700,000 in 2007, operated in the healthcare, social assistance, and other services such as repair, maintenance, personal, and laundry service sectors. Now, administrative support, waste management, and media and remediation services made up 11% of Black-owned firms, totaling 216,763. Transportation and warehousing was the fourth largest industry, making up 9% of Black firms. Now, it's sad. I'm going to stop right there for a second. It's sad that we have all these businesses and we can't employ anybody. That's sad. And it makes me think. You have a business, can't employ anybody. But my concept is I want to make business owners out of every person that's working with my products. That's what I saw, and that's what I see. Other people creating their own business. This is not, I'm not trying to do a pyramid scheme. I'm not. None of these other companies, I just want to give them an opportunity to start their own business, period. They don't have to do anything with me. No strings attached. Just do it. That's what I was in the process of doing. So that I won't be one of those business owners that don't have any employees. Well, I won't be having any employees. I don't want any employees. I want... If they were my employees, to start their own business and create jobs for other people. That's what I want to do, give to those. It's different. So that's something we need to look at. Black share of the U.S. businesses. Despite the 60.5% increase of firms, 55% increase of receipts, and 13% increase of businesses with paid employees, Black-owned businesses only make up 7% of all U.S. firms and less than 0.5% of all U.S. business receipts. African-American adults ages 10 and up make up 10% of the adult population, and we are therefore underrepresented in the United States in terms of business ownership, especially when it comes to earnings. So, again, this is a very good fact. This is very important here. Again, even though we own these businesses, we still are not being paid because that goes back to us not supporting each other. That goes right back to us not supporting each other. And that's where it lies. We have all these great businesses, but we can't get our own to buy into our and to invest in our business. Because when you buy a product, believe it or not, you're investing. Your money's investing in that company to go out and buy more products that you can buy again. So you're investing. And I want you guys to think about this if you have an opportunity, if you have not done this yet. If you find someone who's in the process of starting a business, and you know they are, and you know they need a little help, buy their product. Let me say that again, and it's very significant, and it's a small thing. Buy their product. If you know they're starting out, you know they're struggling, you know they're not just going to say, hey, give me some money, I need some help. Buy their product. Make somebody else happy. I get a lot of GoFundMe requests. People that I know of, you know, ask me to give. And I'm saying this not to pat myself on the back because that's not what this is about. I'm always giving back. I go back to giving back. I always give back. Some shape, form, or fashion, I give back. I can't help everybody, but I know every little bit does help. I do know that. Because I'm a business owner, and I'm struggling. And believe it or not, I have not asked for anybody to help me. Because I just feel the need that I have to do this on my own. But I don't mind helping others. And I know that sounds crazy, but I love giving. And if I can give back to someone, I don't mind doing it. Because I know what it is to be in their shoes. And once you know how it is to be in someone's shoes, then when you relate to that person in their situation, it's easy for you to give. So that's just something to think about. The ideal is giving back to someone who's trying to do something, who's trying to follow their dreams. There's nothing wrong with that. None whatsoever. Okay. Let's talk about the income. How important is the income? Now, these numbers are, and I don't have anything to compare it to, so I'm just going to say these numbers. Okay, it says African American income. The Black median household income is $33,460. All other races is $50,502. Now, I got to do this real quick because I'm really curious about what's the difference. Now, $33,460 at everybody else's $50,502. Wow. There's a $17,000 difference in the average of all other races of median household, 17,000. So 50 years later, wow. It says all Black workers from 2012, weekly earnings was $606. All other races is $765. Wow. So when you're seeing these numbers or when you hear these numbers, that's $159, $160 difference in all other races. Black men, that's all workers. Now we're talking about Black men and then we're going to talk about Black women. Black women earning is $633. White men's earnings is $854. Wow, what a difference. That's a $221 difference. Wow. So let's talk about Black women opposed to white women. Black women earn $590. We even earn less. And white women earn $712. That's a $122 difference. Now, how do we deal with that? 50 years later, are we trying to integrate or are we trying to equate? I mean, that's a question we have to ask. It says, during the 1990s, African-American income grew tremendously by 2000. 57.9% of African-American households had an annual income of $35,000 or more compared to just 38% in 1970. Okay, so $35,000 a year, when it's the average is $50,000, we're still not there, even though this is good news. We're still not there. It says, however, due to the recession, that numbers dropped to just 46% by 2011, reversing much of these gains. The most dramatic change during the same period is the percentage of Black households making under $15,000. Went from 14.5% to 25.4% in 2011, which is well below the poverty line. So, what is our answer to this? Although income for African Americans have improved significantly since the civil rights era, they are still lower than the average American. For example, the median income for Black families is $20,000 a year less than American median income. As you can see from the chart labeled, there's a chart here, and it basically breaks down how much they're making opposed to what we're making. It says individual Black income, individuals, $39,600 and $23,138 Black. And all of U.S., there's 313,914 Blacks altogether per capita dollar, $18,102. All U.S. 2,319. So these numbers, I don't think I said that correctly. Wow, I didn't say those numbers correctly. Okay. Then we'll talk about the education system. I'll move on because I didn't do those numbers correctly. Then let's talk about the education. It says income in the Black or African American median income may have decreased due to the increase of unemployment in 2010. Another indication is the correlation between education and wages, which I mentioned that without the education, the wages don't always equate. There are many educated African Americans in the workforce. However, the numbers begin to lower from high school educated persons to master educated persons. There is a less compensation overall among African Americans, which of course affects the median income. All of this ties in together. So another thing also we have to look at with all these master degrees and all these degrees that we hold, it's awesome that we have them, but we're still lower on the totem pole. We're still not making the money we should. We're still not living the way we should. And the job opportunities are not always there. Let's look at this. A Black who has a bachelor's degree only makes $974. I don't know if that's by the week. On average, all other races make $1,038. So altogether, we have been, and it goes back to the idea that we have been, I mean, really, 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 really struggling. And we shouldn't with all the money that we spend. With all the money that we spend in the United States as citizens, as people who have to buy. $1.1 trillion is what we spend in their economy. And we don't even get it. We don't understand the importance of our dollar. Our dollar is awesome. Our dollar bill is awesome, and we don't know how manage it. Some of us don't know how to manage it. Some of us don't know how to negotiate, save it, put it away. We don't know how to invest it. And you have people who can teach you how to invest your money. You've heard of penny stocks. You heard of buying stocks on retail. That's like a savings account. If you don't want to put it in a bank, well, actually, you are putting it in a bank, whoever owns the investment company. It's sort of like it's a bank. You can do it online. You can start saving $25 every week if you have to. I'm saying that when really I shouldn't, because I don't know what your situation, everybody's situation is different. But it does go back to how we put our mindset and keeping our money in our pockets, teaching our children the importance of banks and how we financially budget ourselves and how we know the finances of just living. Because I can say from my experience, my mom didn't teach me about managing money. I didn't learn how to manage money till I was way in my 20s and 30s. Because there was times when I was still struggling because I did not understand. Nobody taught me that. Even with my service, being in the military, they didn't teach the importance of how to maintain a good budget and stick to it. We disciplined with everything else, but we were not disciplined with our money. And it hurt a lot of us in that sense. And when you don't have someone teaching you the proper way of doing things, and you're trying to learn on your own, and some of us don't want to hear what anybody else say, I'm going to do it my way and my way only. And when you do that and you realize you're not progressing in that way, sometimes we have to listen to other people. And that's why it's important that we learn a lot of stuff on our own. We can learn it on our own. I do it all the time, but I'm just one person. I can't put that in everybody else's head. I've talked to people and I've told them, you know where you can find this at? Oh, and they make excuses. Everything that you say to them to help them better themselves, they have an excuse for it. So when you're dealing with that, sometimes it's best just to step away and then come back. Because sometimes they're thinking about what they just said or what you just said to them to make them think. So getting back to the idea that 50 years later, with the statistics I just read you, do you think that things could change? Do you truly think that things can change and get better for us? And I'm 51, I don't mind saying it. Am I going to be alive to see that change? Oh, I can say I probably won't be here for the whole change, but I really, 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 really hope and pray that I'm here for a little bit of. Just a little bit. You guys, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. This is Red Journal Radio. I'm your host, Salita, and we shall return.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn today
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Oh, silly me, my day for thinking that you'd stay. Gave you my heart and then you ran away. Either I'm stupid, I'm foolish, and you're playing me. I see we were never really meant to be.
So I thought I would try something new.
I wanted to find out if I could live happy without you. And it turned out I wasn't
thought I knew you weren't right. But breaking your spell was a plan I never devised. I would have been here forever living for you.
With some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool.
Oh.
And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Red General Radio, and we are back. We're winding down. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. I definitely did. I still have some time, but I'm just kind of getting that out there now. Okay. Now, once I gave you guys some statistics, I fumbled around there just a little bit to come back to the center of the conversation or the discussion. And like I said, it's about education, economics, housing, jobs, employment opportunities. And I basically kind of gave you my solutions for it. But I know I'm going to further do some studying and then come back and at another date. And we're going to talk about this again. Now, as you know, earlier I mentioned the march. And I'm so elated that it took place. And hopefully this kind of renews our spirit to want to do different, to take care of these situations, our communities, and hopefully a lot of people are going to come back with their heart filled and wanting to start change immediately, just, you know, working on getting justice done, getting black lawyers to do their job, and that's the biggest part, getting the lawyers in the justice system to help these people who are being wrongfully convicted, our economics, having people who are good with finances, with money, set up systems that will help people to get out of poverty. What is the deal about us in poverty? Why is it poverty always follows us around? Is it something that we developed on our own, or has a system, and everybody, how, well, you blame everything on the system, and it's pull your, what's that, pull your self up by your bootstraps. That crap is crap, and I'm going to say it like it is. It's full of shit. Okay, that's not even how it's supposed to be. That's not how it is. It's designed. You're in a system that was designed to keep you from elevating. It has nothing to do with you saying the man is at and is getting me. And you have a little bit, you have some who've accepted the situation, okay, and moved forward because they accepted it instead of trying to find a solution that's going to help everybody. We help ourselves and we move on, and we don't, you know, we don't want to give back. Let them do that. So when people tell you that, you tell them, and I'm going to say it, screw you. You don't know my situation. And a lot of times we're in the process of learning how to deal with all of this when you got this person over here telling you can do anything you want. You can do anything you want. There's nothing about life is limitless. But you have to understand, without skills and without the know-how and without the right people in your life, those things are not going to happen. They're not. Now, if you know somebody who did it without using all those tools right there, let me know, because I'm sure interested in interviewing them and finding out their secret. You have to have a box full of tools in order for you to be successful. And when I say successful, in whatever you want to do, you have to have resources and tools. And there's no way you can do it all alone. I did this by myself. No, you didn't. Doors were open because they were allowed to be open for you. You didn't open them yourself. Someone else opened them for you. You might not know who that person is, but somebody else helped you in some shape, form, or fashion. But we have this mindset that we did it on our own. No, you didn't. Not as a black person, you didn't. You had to give up something. You might not know you've done it, but you've given up something. Okay? And because we want to so much eat at their table, we want our plates right at their table. Of course you're successful. You slip through. Don't get it twisted. You slip through. And that's not for all of them. I will not sit here and say every white person is evil, because I'm lying, and I do not want to come off as lying to my listening audience in any way. But you have a large, well, you have a majority of people who feel like they're privileged. And how dare them want to help you? So when you're sitting at their table and you holler, quote unquote, I did it, you can too. No, somebody helped you, okay? You didn't just do all this by yourself. Somebody helped you. And if you don't recognize that help, then everything else you try to do sometimes is not going to work out. You need to recognize the people who open the doors for you. Not to say kiss their ass, I'm going to be honest with you, but at least acknowledge them to a certain extent. And maybe we have an issue with the difference between acknowledging someone who helped to feeling like you kissing their ass. But I digress from off of that. What I'm trying to say is, once we, 50 years later, once we start really, 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 really working on making it better for each other, for our communities, for black people, for black men, for black women, for black children, period, we'll be better off. And anything is possible. And I think certain people are afraid of us actually not talking anymore, but creating action. We actually really start doing the things that are going to make a difference. Now, with us doing that, are we going to get a lot of backlash? Are we going to get a lot of pushback? Because believe it or not, because it's so ingrained in the system, you're going to have to look at them. You're going to have to face them. You're going to have to use something. You're going to have to go to them for something because it's set up that way. So how do you approach it? If you have to, you give me what is mine. You're going to help me do that. No, you can't. You can't. And you're not definitely begging them for anything. You can ask. They want to give you a bunch of bullshit, you move on. Okay, fine. You don't have to. That's fine. And you go on to the next. But don't stop and don't give up. But we do need to. And it's certain circumstances that we do have to go to them. That's, it's not impossible. It's going to happen. But on other situations, we can create our own. We can create our own wealth. We can create our own foundation. Look at the Asians. They came here, Cambodians. They got hair shops, because that's where we buy our hair from. They got nail shops, so because we got, you know, we go to them for our nails. I do, because I don't have one, especially in my area. Black. I just don't. I wish I did, because I would give them all the business. We have black beauty salons, but I'd rather for you to be able to do other things. I would like to see a black-owned spa where I can go get a spa. I mean, where I can go get massaged and treated beautifully by my own people. That's what I would like to see. I would like to see Black America be a Black America. I would like to see another Black Wall Street. Is it impossible? No. Far from impossible. Because now we have more technology. We have more very highly intelligent people that can make a difference. Some of them choose not to. Some of them don't want to be part of the fight. Some of them don't want to be part of the struggle. They just want to live. That's fine. But the rest of us, we want to be able to give back. We want to be able to help each other. We want to be able to educate each other on different things. I love housing. I love houses. I love doing that. I love that. I would love to teach people how to buy a house. Oh, but guess what? I don't have to have a license to do it. I can be an instructor. I can be a trainer. I can be a consultant to make sure you have all your ducks in a row before you even go to a bank, before you even go to a realtor to be pre-approved, and how much and how long. I would love to do that. And I would love to do with my people. There's not that many African-American real estate agents here. It's just not. We have one here for sure, and they have realtors up under them. But the agency itself is only one in this whole area. But if I can get in, which I am, and just teach people. I don't want to just be able to sell a house. I want to show you how I sold that house to you. How I helped you to get that house. That's what I want to do. Teaching. Educate. That's, and it's basic stuff. It's not any major stuff. It's basics that people don't know. And I talk to people all the time. It's about basics. People get confused real quick because I get confused. So they don't know. When it comes to jobs, I would love to be able to create jobs or placing people with a job that they love, placing them with people, companies that love and take care of their employees. I love all that. But I can't do it alone. And neither can all the other people. Everybody needs help. Some way, shape, form, or fashion, everyone needs help. But don't take advantage of that help. Take the help and move on. Take the help and help yourself. And sometimes we lazy, we don't want to. I like the way the government takes care of me. But guess what? It's just like a job. And I hate to say this, talking about building an economic system, but a job. Getting a job is fine. You know what they say? Excuse me, job signifies just over broke. And using the word jobs is very important because that's what we need right now. But those jobs can turn into businesses from the skills you learn from that job if you really want to. And everybody can't own a business. Everybody can't do it. It's just not for everybody. And that's fine. But the ideal of working for your own, I think, is awesome. And if your own is taking care of you properly and training you and teaching you new things and giving you an opportunity to move up the ladder, go for it. I think it's awesome. I think it is awesome. But if you work for somebody who's disrespectful, that goes for us because we have to be retaught how to interact with our own people. A lot of us do. A lot of us have a lot of chips on our shoulders. See, all of this is going to affect the education, economics, housing, the jobs, employment opportunities, businesses. All of this is going to affect it. It goes back to that individual person. You've got to be prepared and ready to open up your mind to changing things. And yes, we did get together this weekend. Yes, it was awesome. Spiritual movement, feeling good, feeling safe, feeling loved. But now, all of that that you picked up and took with you, what you going to do with it? Throw it in the closet when you get home? What you going to do with it? Put it in a cupboard? Or are you going to take it out, sit down, go through it, see where you fit in? And I'm talking about it on the mental status. I'm using it as a metaphor. I'm not talking about actually having something. I'm talking about all the knowledge that you picked up, all the information that you got this weekend. What are you going to do with it? And how are you going to go from here with it? I know tonight, you guys, I didn't do one thing. I did not give out the number, and I apologize for that. To call in and have comments or questions. I apologize for not doing that tonight. I have to get in the habit of doing that. I don't know why. I've got to get better with that because I'm so used to when I'm on actual local radio, you know, we have that interaction. But it's kind of different when you're doing it from a different viewpoint or standpoint. So, again, I want to say that we need to move beyond the 50 years. We need to quit fighting for the same things. We need to start helping each other. We need to make sure that everything that is needed, that we're able to provide it for each other so that we don't have to act beyond the circle. And we have to understand where we stand in this whole puzzle and how we feel about ourselves individually. How do we look at each other is important too. But it's much more important for us to know who we are and where do we belong? And where do we fit in? Or do we need to fit in? That's the question. Do we truly need to fit in with everybody else? Or could our differences be the plus in this whole situation? I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing. I think it's beautiful. We are a beautiful people. And if I could hug and tell every individual, whether they know me or not, that I wish you blessings and good luck in anything that you do and be prosperous in anything you do, I would love to do that. But I know that's not possible. But I get a chance to spread my love on here, on the radio. I love it. On my show, I love it. I love being able to do this. This is so wonderful. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that you guys are getting something out of some of the things I say, if not all of them. Or some people probably not really caring. They're just listening just to see what they can listen to. That's fine. You know, at least I know I'm trying something. If I can give a little bit of help somewhere, at least I can do that. And that makes me feel good. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys who listen in when I do come on the radio. I'm going to get more consistent with this. It's just taking me a lot of time because I have my hands in a lot of things. And sometimes I'm not prioritizing myself. And this should be very important to me to do more than anything because I've been doing it so long. I love doing it. It's just that I've got my hands in everything and I've got to start stepping back and dedicating myself to making Red Journal Radio my priority. So, again, I want to say thank you guys for listening in. Red Journal Radio. We shall return. You guys have a great night. I am your host, Salita, and I want to say good night.